الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 14th session from the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Yani his explanation of that which is known today, yani the essay that is known today by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah as Al-Wasiyya Al-Sughra. Al-Wasiyya Al-Sughra. And tonight our topic is really a very, very important topic, and of course, yani the whole book is important. Alhamdulillah, yani when we discussed the taqwa and its importance and the significance and the need of the Muslim to understand what is taqwa and to implement it, to practice it, to observe it in our lives, we saw that it is of the utmost importance. And we also talked about ad-du'a dhikr and du'a and istikhara, and how yani this remembrance of Allah all the time in every situation or circumstance in different types of ways, not just yani on the tongue, but in everything that it entails. We saw how it is of the utmost importance. And tonight, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to talk about tawakkul ala Allah. And there's no doubt that it is also one of those critical topics that if a person takes it to heart and examines it and reviews it and looks into it and contemplates over it and measures their self with it and tries to improve oneself, there has to be a change in your life. And inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, it will bring you nearer to Allah and put you in a better position to return to Him, yani whenever that time comes. And we know that life in this world is brief, is fleeting, and our time is near. So whoever is not prepared for it, they have no one to blame but yourself. We want to look, yani, just briefly at what we talked about last week from the questionnaire study guide for number 13, topics related to al-istikhara. And the first question, Allah the Most High honored Ummatul Islam by legislating istikhara in place of which practices of jahiliyyah? Yani istikhara replace which practices of jahiliyyah? Naam, Ibrahim.
The picking of arrows and taking of omens from birds.
Okay, naam, picking from arrows, yani, what do they call this? Divining with arrows, naam. Al-istiqsam bil-azlam. Yani the people make a decision based on yani which arrow they picked. Or by what? The omens that they take from birds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this ummah, and He replaced that. He gave us something better than that, and that is al-istikhara. Yani if a person wants to make a decision about something in their life, whatever it may be, then they can perform salah and make dua istikhara. The second question, explain the situation or circumstance in which istikhara is legislated, with mention of when it is not legislated. Yani mentioning also when it is not legislated. Ahmed.
Istikhara is legislated in ahwal when you are not sure about the situation.
And when a person is not sure about something, now.
You have a worry about it, you need to seek counsel of Allah, you're not 100% sure which way, which direction to go.
Yani something is obscure, it's not clear. Yani a matter that is you are confronted with, and it's not clear whether or not there's good in this or not. Whether or not you should go forward this or leave it. To do it or not. You're not sure. It's not clear to you. Then this is the time when you should make al-istikhara. And when it's not legislated, now I'm Abu Jamil.
During obligatory actions.
Yani, in reference to obligatory actions, now.
Things that are clear.
Yani those matters which are clear. Al-umur al-wadihat. Yani things that are clear, Like those things which are obligatory. Allah made it obligatory upon us. Yani wujub, the wajibat al-deen, faraid al-islam, al-muharramat. Things that Allah has prohibited, that we know are prohibited. There's no istikhara in these things. But rather, person has to go forward without hesitation in doing that which Allah has made obligatory upon us and avoiding that which He has forbidden. The third question mentioned the second affair that should accompany istikhara, defining each of them briefly and how they differ from one another. Naam, talib. Istishara. Yani istikhara accompanied by istishara. Yani, how can we define them in a way that clearly distinguishes between the two of them? What kind of definition can we give to this? Naam, Abu Jamil.
Istikhara is when you seek
the khair from Allah. Now, istikhara is when you're seeking khair, yani the best choice in something from Allah, asking Allah to guide you in that which is best. Naam.
And istishara is when you seek help or guidance from those who are wise.
And istishara is seeking help or guidance, yani consulting with people who have knowledge and understanding and familiarity, who have knowledge and experience and expertise in a certain field. You're asking them to help you to make a decision. So these are two different matters, and both of them, they should accompany one another. Istikhara, asking Allah. And istishara, consulting with the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us, encouraged the people to consult, right? Does anybody remember the ayat? وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرَ وَإِذَا أَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ يعني consult with them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah, consult with his companions. But when he makes a decision about something, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ Put your trust in Allah. Depend upon Allah. Rely upon Allah. Have faith and confidence in Allah. And don't doubt after that. The fourth question. Memorize the dua of istikhara as reported by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. Naam. Fadl Ibrahim.
Allahumma astakhiruka bi'ilmika wastaqu. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wastaqdiruka bi'kudratika wasaluka min fadlika al-azim.
فإنك
تقدر ولا أقدر وأنت
تعلم
ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري واصرفني عنه
فاخذور لي الخير فاخذور لي الخير
حيث كان ثم أردني بي وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسمى حالي.
نعم أحسنت ما شاء الله بارك الله فيكم. يعني the meaning of this يعني important very very important dua from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني is first part he said what اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم. يعني that I'm saying, oh Allah, I am seeking guidance from you to make the best choice based on what? Your knowledge. And to give me the ability from your power to be able to do it. And what? وأسألك من فضلك العظيم. And I ask you to give me from your fadl, your bounty and your favor, your magnificent bounty and favor, to give me something from it. Because indeed, you are the one who are able, and I am not able. And you are the one who know, and I do not know. And you are the one who knows all the affairs of the unseen. And then, after saying this introduction, then the Prophet ﷺ told us to say what? Oh Allah, if you know that this affair is good for me, in my deen, and in my livelihood in this world, and in my hereafter. And some of the narration said, that which is now and that which is later. Having the same basic meaning, really. Then decree it for me. And make it easy for me. SubhanAllah. Decree it for me and make it easy for me. Look at this. And don't just decree it for me, but make it easy for me. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ And then bless me in it. Yani, make an increase in khair, كَثْرَةُ الْخَيْر, barakah, in that thing that you have decreed for me and made easy for me. And if you know that this thing is evil for me in my deen and in my worldly life and in my hereafter, then turn me away from it and turn it away from me. And decree for me the khair wherever it may be. Wherever it may be. ثُمَّ أَرْضِنِي بِي And then what? Make me to be pleased with it. To be content with what you have decreed for me. This is a tremendous dua. A person who reflects upon these meanings, this is tremendous. Tremendous, really. From our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the favor of Allah, honoring this ummah, giving them this in place of that, what they had. Difference between night and day. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, mention the matter. That is the thing that you are seeking guidance in. The fifth question discussed the statement of Mutarraf, يعني الشخير, يعني Mutarraf ibn Abdullah al-Shakhir. He was one of the imams of the Tabi'een. And Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah narrated this saying from him in his book Az-Zuhud. He said, discuss this statement of Mutarraf al-Shakhir rahimahullah, which makes clear why dua is the key to all khair. Why is dua the key, the miftah لكل خير, مفتاح كل خير. Why? What is the statement of Mutarraf? Naam, Musa.
That the khair, goodness is plentiful.
Like okay, dua. He said first that I thought about yani the thing that collects and gathers all khair. What is this? Yani, what is this thing that collects all khair? And he said that?
That they are plentiful.
That khair is plentiful. Salat, siyam, naam.
And you cannot have that which is in the hands of Allah.
Before that, he said, I thought that it's khair is plentiful. And also, where is this khair? Fi yadillah. Fi yadillah. That it is in the hands of Allah. There's plenty of khair, but it's all under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said,
you cannot be on that which is in the hands of Allah.
And you have no control, no power over that which is in the hand of Allah, except
he gives
that, and tas'alahu fayu'tiyak. And except that you ask him for it, and he gives it to you. That's the only way that you can have any khair, that you ask Allah for it, and he gives it to you. And then he said, based on this, then he came to know that, yani, that jima al khair, yani that thing that collects and gathers all of the khair, the sum total of all khair, it is
dua.
The way to get it is by asking Allah and that he give it to you. It is by dua. And this is a tremendous saying that inshallah requires some reflection from time to time to remind us. Question number 6, memorize the hadith, whoever does not ask Allah, that is for their needs, whoever doesn't ask Allah, Allah will be with him. The hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi. Who memorized the hadith? Nobody in the back? Even in English. طيب. فضل موسى.
من لم يسأل الله.
من لم يسأل الله.
يغضب عليه.
نعم. يغضب عليه. نعم. ها؟ The Shaykh, he mentioned it, غَرِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, in the hadith, it's mentioned, يعني with the wording, يَغْضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. But in any case, the meaning is the same. غَضَبَ اللَّهُ, غَضَبَ عَلَيْهِ, أو يَغْضَبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, يعني same meaning. نعم. Meaning of it is,
whoever doesn't ask Allah, Allah becomes angry upon him.
Whoever doesn't ask Allah, whoever doesn't supplicate to Allah, call on Allah, invoke Allah, asking for their needs, then Allah will be angry with that person. Allah will be angry with them. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us. Allah loves that we ask. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to ask. Yani, a lot. Question number 7. Memorize the ayah. And your Rabb, the meaning of which is, and your Rabb said, call upon me, and I will, to the end of the ayah, in Surah Al-Ghafir, yani 40th chapter, 60th ayat. Now.
داخرين.
نعم. يعني the meaning of this ayah was that your Lord, your Rabb, he said, call upon me. And he commanded us to call upon him. And he said then, if you call upon me, I will answer you. And the rest of the ayah, he said what? يستخبرون عن عبادتي. يعني whoever is arrogant, too proud to worship Allah. Here it means what? To call upon Allah. The ibadah here is dua. And الدُّعَى هُوَ الْإِبَادَةِ, the Prophet ﷺ said. Whoever is too proud for this, then that person will be admitted into the Jahannam in humiliation. And Allah is telling us, call upon Him, He will answer us. And whoever is too proud to call upon Him, then their destination will be the hellfire. And question number 8, Allah will definitely respond to the one who calls upon Him, as long as one is not hasty. What is intended here by hasty? What is intended here by hasty? Who's that in the back? Nadiruddin. Naam. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah accept.
continues to act and he doesn't get a response.
يعني he asked and he said I asked دعوته قد دعوته فلم يستجب لي and I didn't get any answer. And the Prophet ﷺ said that one of you will be definitely answered by Allah. He will receive a response as long as he is not hasty. مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ. They said, what is this? يعني استعجال. What is it? إجالة. It means that a person called upon Allah and they called upon Allah once or twice or whatever. And then they said, I didn't get any answer. So they stopped calling. Question number 9. Which is the best of all times for supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Mention a dalil or proof indicating this time. Naam, Ahmed. Yani the last third of the night. Uh-huh. And the proof for it? طيب نعم طيب يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that our Rabb descends to the سماء الدنيا to the heaven of this world every night in the last third of the night and he says من يسألني who will ask me for something فعطيه so I will give it to him من who will يدعوني who will call يعني supplicate to me so that I will answer him and who will seek forgiveness of me so that I will forgive him in the last third of the night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us which one of you will ask which one of you will call upon me who will يعني seek forgiveness for me so that I can respond to him give him forgive him نعم And the last question mentions some of the other times or circumstances which are best for supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other times and circumstances that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned or other ones that the Shaykh mentioned in the explanation or the ones that we may know of. Naam. Naziruddin. At the ends of the salat. At the ends of the salat and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that the meaning of this, yani the ends at the bar salawat, al-maktuba in the hadith as mentioned in the hadith like this, that it means يعني before the Taslim. And there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning this. Naam. Another time. Naam, Sadiq. Between the Adhan and the Iqamah. Naam. Another time.
Under the rain.
Under the rain. Yani a person who is walking in the rain. The rain is raining on you. Naam. Huh?
The one that is fasting.
Person fasting. Naam. Breaking fast. Iftar.
Traveler.
Person when they're traveling. You got you, Mustafa? Now, Siddiq.
The one who is oppressed.
One who is oppressed, naam. Okay. Huh? Iqama? And then Iqama, naam. What else? What about Marid? Person sick. What about Sujood? Sujood. Yani, what better position than yani, a person nearest? أقرب إلى ربه. It's Sujood. And what about after Tashahud, before Taslim? The Prophet ﷺ specifically mentioned these two places in Salat. After the Tashahud, before Taslim, and in Sujood. And there are others, there are so many. Naam, and these are some of them. Huh? Yawmul Jum'ah, a sa'ah, a certain time in Yawmul Jum'ah. And the scholars have a lot of opinions concerning this. Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani mentions like a list of so many opinions. And probably the best of them, and Allah knows best, is that that time, according to authentic hadith, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih, is that it is in the last period of time after Salatul Asr, before sunset. And Allah knows best. Yani it's an hour in Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And also Yawm al-Arafah. Yawm al-Arafah. Naam. And more, right? Tayyib. After the Iqama. Tayyib. Between Adhan and Iqama. Naam. Between Adhan and Iqama. Tayyib. The Shaykh, we begin, yani, let me just give you the reference here. If you're reading from the first English translation, yani, or the first publishing of it, then we're reading from page 19. Under the title, The Best Quality to Have is Trust in Allah, up until page 21, yani, near the end of the page. And if you're reading from Dar es Salaam's printing of the same translation, this one, then we're reading from page 59. And the notes begin on 59. The actual text of this topic begins on page 66 at the top of the page. Under the similar title, the best goal is to have trust in Allah. And if you're reading from the Arabic Sharh, if you're reading from the Arabic Sharh of Sheikh Abdul Razak, then we're reading from page 59. From page 59, halfway down of to 62. Halfway 62. And in 59 to 62. So he begins quoting from the text of the book, from the speech of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He says, وَأَمَّا أَرْجَحْ الْمَكَاسِبْ. Yani, as far as your question related to what is the best of the means of earning livelihood, the best way that a person can earn their living. He said, فَالتَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَالثِّقَةُ بِكِفَايَتِهِ وَحُسْنُ الظَّنْ بِهِ. This first statement is tremendous. This, yani, each one of these points require, yani, a whole time period of sittings or sessions. The best means of earning one's livelihood is first and foremost to be in the right frame of mind for earning a livelihood. Before you actually seek to earn money, you have to first what? Have in your heart and in your mind this very important foundation, التوكل على الله والثقة بكفايته وحسن الظن به. This is what we have to start with. Yani, that what? That a person has total trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tawakkul ala Allah. Trust, reliance, dependence on Allah alone. Wa-thiqa bi-kifayatihi. And that they have confidence that Allah is sufficient. Allah will be sufficient. Yani, if Allah takes care of you, you will be sufficed. You won't have any need after that. Guaranteed. Wa-husnu dhan bihi. And that you have husnu dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, that you think well of Allah, that you expect good from Allah. And as a result of you thinking, yani, expecting good from Allah, you will find good from Allah. But if you expect good from Allah, it's only because what? You will do good and expect that He will give. Naam. Having husnu dhan billahi. Yani, it's not just, I think good of Allah, and then I commit every sin that I can think of, and do everything evil that I can have access to. No, husnu dhan billahi means that you expect Allah will reward you and protect you and guide you and provide for you if you obey Him. If you do good, then you expect that Allah is going to return. Hal jazal ihsani illa al-ihsan. Is there any reward for doing good except that what will come back to you is good? No doubt about it. That's a fact. That's a real fact. And this is the first line, and we need to move a little bit more quickly. Yani, it is tawakkul ala Allah, and having trust, confidence, that Allah is sufficient, and thinking well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي. And this is because it is necessary, it is befitting for the person who is concerned about the affair of rizq, of sustenance, of provisions, that person turn, in seeking their provisions, that they turn to Allah. يَلْجَعْ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَدْعُوهُ. Turn to Allah and supplicate to Him. كَمَا قَالَ سُبْحَانُهُ فِيمَا يَأْثُرَ عَنْهُ نَبِيُّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. And this is in accordance with what has been reported or transmitted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ in a hadith that's sahih. It's a lengthy hadith. And in it, yani, the Shaykh quotes from it these words from that hadith Qudsi. كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم. Yani, every one of you is hungry except the one who I have fed. Therefore, seek food. Yani, seek to be fed from me and I will feed you. يا عبادي كلكم عارٍ. This should be عارٍ without يا at the end of this word. It should be عارٍ because this is what اسم منقوص. Alright? وَكُلُّكُمْ عَارٍ إِلَّا مَنْ كَسَوْتُهُ فَاسْتَقْسُونِي أَقْسُكُمْ. And every one of you, all my worshippers, every one of you is naked except the one who I have clothed. So seek clothes to be clothed from me, and I will clothe you. And also in that which has been narrated by At-Tirmidhi from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, لِيَسْأَلْ أَحَدُكُمْ رَبَّهُ حَاجَتَهُ كُلَّهَا حَتَّى شَشْعَ نَعْلِهِ. إذا انقطع أو شش عن نعله إذا انقطع فإنه إن لم ييسره لم يتيسر. يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said you must, every one of you must ask his Rabb for his needs, all of them, whatever it is you need, everything small and great, you must ask Allah for it, even to the extent of your the strap of your sandal if it were to break. يعني ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to have it fixed. For indeed, and this is the point that is critical here, if you think about it, فَإِنَّهُ إِنْ لَمْ يُيَسِّرْهُ. For indeed, if Allah doesn't facilitate it, if Allah doesn't make it easy for it to happen, لَمْ يَتَيَسَّرْ, it will not be facilitated. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And this is a command, ask Allah from his bounties, from his favors. And he followed with the second ayat that you should couple with it in meaning, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. So when you are finished with the performance of the salat, then go out in the earth and seek from the bounties of Allah. And these two ayahs should be looked at together as the Shaykh begins to explain it. He said, and then after this he said, and even though that this ayah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, even though this ayah is yani in reference to Jumu'ah, even though it is in reference to Jumu'ah, the meaning is still applicable to all of the congregational prayers. And for this reason, and Allah knows best, yani for this same meaning, yani after you complete the salat, after you ask Allah for your needs and you do yani what is obligatory upon you, then yani after you ask Allah and seek what you need from Allah, then you have to go out and do something. And this is this meaning came in the hadith, and the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, and Allah knows best, this is why the Prophet commanded the one who's entering the masjid to say, Allahumma aftahli abwab rahmatika. O Allah, open for me the doors of your rahmah. And the one who is going out, he commanded him to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. O Allah, indeed, I ask you from your bounties. And then he says, the final evidence that he quotes, وَقَالَ الْخَلِيلُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, any meaning, Ibrahim عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ وَعْبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. يعني seek your sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him and be grateful to Him. Seek your sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him and be grateful to Him. And then Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, يعني this is the last line that we're going to cover tonight بإذن الله تعالى, he says وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ وَالْأَمْرُ يَقْتَدِي الْإِجَابُ وَالْوُجُوبُ. يعني that this is a command. يعني seek your sustenance from Allah. Ask Allah for His bounty. This is a command. يعني seek your sustenance from Allah and worship Him and be grateful to Him. He said this is a command, and the command in the Quran or in the Sunnah يَقْتَدِي الْإِجَابُ وَالْوُجُوبُ. Meaning it signifies, denotes that this is something that's obligatory. يعني when Allah gives us a command, it indicates that it is obligatory. فَالْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِاللَّهِ وَاللَّجَعُ إِلَيْهِ فِي أَمْرِ الرِّزْقِ وَغَيْرِهِ أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ. So seeking help, assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turning to Him in the affair of your sustenance, your provisions, and in other than that, in any matter, whatever it may be, this is the أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a foundation that is azim, a foundation, yani that we stand upon. This is not a secondary matter, this is a foundation. Seeking your sustenance from Allah. All of us are in need of sustenance. Some of us work for other people, some of us work for ourselves, some of us are doing whatever we're doing, trying to get sustenance, because you have to have sustenance. How will you live? Where will you get your provisions from? Everybody's in need of provisions. But the Muslims are the only people who really understand that provisions are sought from Allah. The things that we do every day for our provisions, that's just means. But really the provisions is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. This is a aslun azimun. Okay, the Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, intaqala, rahimahullah, he went to answering the request of the question Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is the third issue of the four issues that he was asked about. This is the third of them. So he goes to begin to answer this question. He doesn't answer it directly, rather he makes an introductory statement that we're going to talk about tonight, tawakkul ala Allah, and then another introductory statement that we'll talk about next week, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, and then he goes to address the actual thing that was intended by the question, and Allah knows best. He said, and from what he requested, the questioner, from what he requested from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, is an yubayyin lahu arja al-makasib, to make clear for him what is the best means of earning one's livelihood. So he answered here with his saying, as far as the best means of earning one's livelihood, how you can live, how you can earn your rizq, what preparations, tools, means do you need to earn a living? He said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, and the Shaykh, he stops here, he says, as far as the best means of earning a livelihood, the Shaykh says in his explanation, he said, look at the imamah. The imamah, the leadership of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and the beauty of his advice and his clarification. Look at the beauty of this. This is a question, if it was presented to many of us, a questioner came and said, I want you to point me to what is the best means of livelihood, what is the best means of tijarat, trade and stuff, what's the most profitable of trade, or real estate, for example, or buying and selling in the marketplace, what is the best means of livelihood? You will find the thing that will come immediately to our mind is that we will direct our response immediately to trade, to the trade itself. We will start talking about trade, buying and selling, commerce, real estate, or whatever it is. And we will say, I advise you, my advice to you is to go into real estate. This is the best thing that you can do now in terms of the market, what's going on now. Or for example, you might say, I advise you to turn towards vegetables in the market, selling vegetables, or turn towards whatever. However, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, as far as the best means of earning a livelihood, he didn't say any of those things. He said, what? At-tawakkul ala Allah. That's how he began his answer. That's not the way we would have begun our answer. This shows the imamah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in deen, his leadership, scholarship in deen, and his nus, and his good advice for the people, and his da'wah, calling the people, inviting them to depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this type of advice given to a person, the person who is about to go into trade, or go into manufacturing, or go into some type of work, when they hear this advice, these kind of words, then he will be more conscious of at-tawakkul ala Allah, going into whatever he goes into, as opposed to the one who turns to, who is directed towards trade without it bringing to his attention the importance of first and foremost that you have to put your trust in Allah. And you have to turn your affairs over to Allah, and you have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever you try to do, if you want success, it's all in the hands of Allah. So he enters this action, the person who is not given this kind of advice, and perhaps he doesn't even have a tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, it's not even in his conscious mind. It's not something that he's aware of, that he's carrying with him. So look at the imamah, of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, his leadership and his good advice. He said, as far as the best means of earning a livelihood, then it is at tawakkul ala Allah. And having confidence in his sufficiency, and having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this reminds me of the supplication that's in the Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa'ah, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Hasbi Allah, la ilaha illa huwa, alayhi tawakkaltu. Huh? What? وهو رب العرش العظيم. This is something the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say in the Adhkar al-Sabah, and he used to say it 7 times, and he would say, whoever says this every day in the morning and in the evening, Allah will suffice him whatever he is concerned about of his affairs in the dunya and the akhirah. Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me. There is nothing that deserves your worship except him. عليه توكلت, I put my trust, I depend upon and rely upon him alone. He, the one who is the Rabbul Arsh al-Azim. This is something that we should be saying every day. And this makes us aware of what? At-tawakkul, ala Allah. Yani the one who there is no ilah except him. The one who is Rabbul Arsh al-Azim. He is sufficient for me. He is sufficient for me. And I put my trust in him alone. The Shaykh, he said, at-tawakkul ala Allah, it means at-tafweed al-amra. Ala Allah, or should be, ila Allah. Tafweed al-amra ila Allah. Yani at-tawakkul ala Allah, it means turning over the affair to Allah, surrendering the affair to Allah. Yani I'm not able, I'm not capable, I'm giving it to Allah and putting my hope and trust and reliance upon Allah. That is, in anything that a person attempts to do, whether it is a religious act or whether it is a worldly matter, whether it's a trade or other than that, you are in need of putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And for this reason, we say that at-tawakkul is an ibadah qalbiyyah. تَصْحَبْ الْمُؤْمِنَ الصَّادِقْ فِي جَمِيعُ أُمُورِهِ بِدُونْ إِسْتِفْنَى. That التوكل is a what? It is a ibadah qalbiyyah. Yani it is an ibadah, a worship that's from the heart. It's not like standing and bowing and prostrating. This is a worship that takes place in the heart. And it should be accompanying the true believer in all of his affairs without any exception in everything that we do, worldly or religious. So if a person wants to pray, it is a necessity that you put your trust in Allah. Fast, charity, any type of good that you want to do, buying, selling, to other than that, whatever it is that you want to do, it's incumbent that you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani every deed that a person does, it must be accompanied by consciousness of at-tawakkul ala Allah. So at-tawakkul, he said, is an ibadah qalbiyyah, an ibadah of the heart that accompanies the believer in all of his deeds, in all of his affairs, worldly affairs and religious affairs. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, as far as the best of means of earning a livelihood, it is at-tawakkul ala Allah and confidence in his sufficiency. Here the Shaykh says, al-thiqa bi-kifayati. What is the meaning of al-thiqa? He said, here khulasatu at-tawakkul, wallub at-tawakkul. Yani al-thiqa, it is the core, the essence, the heart of at-tawakkul. Yani if you think about tawakkul, it means to rely upon Allah, to depend upon Allah. The core of it, the essence of it is athiqa billahi. How can you put your trust totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that you have complete confidence in Him? Complete confidence. And there's no such thing as a human being that you can have complete confidence in. Not your own self or anyone else. Rather, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is able to do whatever He wills. He said, وَلَا تَكُونُ أَثِقَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And this confidence, this thiqa that he is saying you must have in Allah, confidence in Allah, it is not to be placed in anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such that a person, an abd, turns in all of his affairs, worldly or religious affairs, turns completely seeking refuge, shelter in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having confidence in Him, Jalla wa Ala, that He will yuwafiquk, yani He will grant you success, or yusaddid, yani that He will make you, yani on the mark, that you will be right, wa yu'inuk, and He will help you, and He will inspire you with that which is correct, and He will cause you to avoid slipping or falling, yani having confidence that Allah will do this for you. So therefore, athiqa, this confidence, is not to be placed in anyone or anything except Allah. And for this reason, this is a widespread mistake in our time that people are inviting, calling to athiqa bin nafs, calling people to have confidence in yourself. Have confidence in yourself. Wallahi, that's a mistake. Naam. But some of these people will tell you, I don't know what they call these people, they're supposed to tell people, give you good advice. What do they call these people that know everything, they claim? Huh? Counselors, huh? Psychic? Not psychiatrists, no, I mean the people, those guys who are supposed to know how to convince, give you confidence and make you successful, those guys. They would tell you, have confidence in yourself. In what way? Yani, you don't have the ability to do anything. Wallahi. This is a mistake. But it sounds good, and if you don't know any better. The Shaykh said this is a widespread mistake in our time, even amongst the Muslims he's talking about. He's talking about amongst the Muslims. Forget about amongst the Kafirs. For this reason, you find some people speaking to someone saying to him, you must have confidence in yourself. Or for example, he would blame him and he would say, you don't have confidence in yourself. And the Shaykh says, كَيْفَ يَثِقُ الْإِنسَانِ بِنَفْسِهِ وَفِي الدُّعَاءِ الْمَأْثُورِ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ اللَّهُمَّ رَحْمَتَكَ. Yani he says, رَحْمَةِ, it should be رَحْمَتَكَ أَرْجُو فَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي شَعْنِي كُلَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Yani the Shaykh says, what? How can you have confidence in yourself when you are supplicating with the dua that came from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, oh Allah, your rahmah, I am hoping for your rahmah, so don't put me in charge of myself even for the blinking of an eye. Not even for 1 second, don't put me in charge of myself. I hope for your mercy. Huh? And correct and rectify my affairs. La ilaha illa anta. There's nothing, no one that deserves to be worshipped except you. And there's a similar supplication in the Fortress of the Muslim. If you want to go back and you didn't memorize it, yani it's in chapter 27, the Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa, number 88. Ya Hayyu ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghithu fa aslih li sha'ni kulla wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. In the narration of Imam Ahmad says tarfata ayn abada. And the Fortress of the Muslim doesn't mention that word. Yani ya Hayyu ya Qayyum, oh the one who has perfect life and who sustains himself and everyone is sustained by him, bi rahmatika astaghithu. Yani I seek help urgently, desperately, from your rahmah to correct my affairs, all of them, and do not place me in charge of myself even for the blinking of an eye. Yani we are saying this, and if we really believe it, then we know that confidence is not in yourself or anyone else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this is a supplication that is confirmed, that a person recites at a time of difficulty or hardship, yani when they are unable to do something. So how can a person have confidence in themselves when you are supplicating and you're saying, oh Allah, do not place me in charge of myself, not even for 1 second, not even for the blinking of an eye. فَالثِّقَ بِاللَّهِ لَيْسَتْ بِالنَّفْسِ نَعْمَ الْعَبْدِ يَبْذُلُ السَّبَبَ الْمَشْرُوعَ الْمُبَاحِ لَكِنْ لَا تَكُونُ ثِقَتُهُ لا بنفسه ولا بالسبب الذي بذله إنما تكون ثقته بربه سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقه أن يسدده أن يلحمه السواب. So the Shaykh, he said that what? That ثقة, it must be in Allah. Confidence has to be in Allah. Full confidence is only in Allah. It is not in yourself. Yes, indeed, the person must exert themselves, must make some effort to do what they are able to do. That's a fact. Yani from the things that are legislated and that are permissible. However, the person's thiqa must not be in yourself nor in the means that you are utilizing. Don't have confidence in the means either. Like some people, if they have a gun on their side, they're confident in that gun. And what about Allah? What about Allah? Don't be confident in that. Person has a lot of money in the bank, they're confident, they're going to be good. Didn't you read the history of the rich people jumping off buildings in America? Today it's like this and tomorrow it's something else. And today we're living in a troubled world. If a person has confidence in Allah, they're good to go. If you have confidence in something else, you're in trouble. Wallahi, you're in trouble. Naam. Don't have confidence in yourself, nor in the means that you're exerting to achieve your goals, but rather your confidence should be in your Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will grant you success, that He will direct you right, that He will inspire you with that which is correct. And for this reason, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, what I advise you with is tawakkul ala Allah, and having thiqa, confidence in His sufficiency. Indeed Allah jalla wa ala said, alaysa Allahu bikafin abdahu. Is not Allah sufficient for His abd? Isn't Allah sufficient for His abd? This is mentioned in Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 36th Ayat. وَيَقُولُ وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَصْبُ. And He also said, whoever puts their trust in Allah, فَهُوَ حَصْبُهُ. Yani then Allah is حَصْبُهُ, meaning كَافِي. Allah is sufficient for who. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 3rd Ayat. And then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, yani he says, what? Having confidence in his sufficiency, wa husnul dhan bihi. And having husnul dhan, billahi, having a good expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been mentioned in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith Qudsi, ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi, ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi, yani I am with my servant in accordance with what he expects from me. In accordance with what he expects from me. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmed from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said, أنا عند ظن عبدي بي, it means, أي قادر على أن أعمل به ما ظن أني عامل به. يعني that I am, that Allah is saying, however you think of him, I am able to do with you, with him, my servant, that which he thinks I will do with him. Yani you think I would do good by you, Allah is able to do that. If you think otherwise, Allah is able to do otherwise. And Al-Hasan al-Basri said, Wallahi ma ahsana abdun adhan billahi azza wa jalla illa ahsan al-amal. That by Allah, no servant has had husn al-dhan with Allah except that he does, yani ahsan al-amal, that he does good deeds. Yani husn al-dhan means that you do good. Not you just expect good from Allah, but you expect good because you do good. Because you do good, because you're obedient to Allah, you're worshipping Him and doing what He said to do. So some people may be deceived. Well, I think good of Allah, I expect good. And you are drinking alcohol and committing fornication and engaging in riba, and I think good of Allah, I expect good. Do you? You're in delusion. You're in delusion. يعني أحسن الظن بالله يعني this is where you أحسن الظن means be obedient to Allah and expect that He will يعني compensate you very well. The Shaykh, he says, so it is incumbent upon the person when he enters into any act, any deed or anything of benefit in his affairs that are beneficial, that he has حسن الظن بالله, that he expects good from Allah, he anticipates good from Allah because of his own doing good. He expects that Allah will guide him right, that Allah will help him, Allah will grant him success, and Allah will not let despair and hopelessness overcome him. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, قَالَ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي, يعني having the يعني تَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ and confidence in Allah and ثِقَ بِاللَّهِ and حُسْنُ الظَّنِ بِاللَّهِ, يعني this is incumbent upon a person, because he said the person who is concerned about the affairs of his sustenance, who's thinking about making a living, then he must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call upon Him. He must turn to Allah in order to achieve yani his provisions, that which he is trying to earn. He must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will grant him success. And here the Shaykh, he says, and this meaning will come to us in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ, يعني seek with Allah your sustenance, seek from Allah your sustenance. يعني this will be mentioned later on, we're going to come to this from Surah Al-Ankabut 29:17. And the saying of Allah, the Shaykh mentions here concerning seeking sustenance from Allah, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Dhariyat 51st Surah 22nd Ayat, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, where's your sustenance? فِي السَّمَاءِ, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which you have been promised, meaning the consequences, the results of your deeds in this world and the next life. It's where? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your sustenance is with Allah. This is where you should seek it, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sustenance is in the hand of Allah, and from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razaq. That is the one in whose hand is all sustenance. Therefore, you must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call upon Him. Yani call upon Him that He provide for you. And from the best of times for dua, yani dua, calling upon Allah for sustenance, for good sustenance, specifically supplication for good sustenance, from the best of times for asking Allah for good sustenance is as-sabah al-bakir, early in the morning, by the salatul fajr. Early in the morning, by the salatul fajr. You want sustenance? In the morning after Salatul Fajr, this is the best time to ask. It has been confirmed in the Sunan, yani Sunan Ibn Majah, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said that he used to say every day after Salatul Subh, yani after Salatul Fajr, ba'da an yusallim, after he made taslim, after saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And the hadith is narrated from Salama radiallahu anha, that the Prophet ﷺ used to say, يعني إذا صلى الصبح حين يسلم. يعني when he would pray the Fajr prayer and he would give salams, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, then he used to say, اللهم إني أسألك علما نافيا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. يعني oh Allah, indeed, I ask you for beneficial knowledge first and foremost. And this supplication is explained by Shaykh Abdul Razak in one of those supplications books, yani the supplications of morning and evening, in detail, 6 pages concerning this supplication. Please go back and look at it. O Allah, indeed I ask you for beneficial knowledge and wholesome provisions, lawful wholesome provisions and deeds that are accepted. He used to supplicate the Prophet ﷺ for these 3 things, yawmiyan, every day after the morning prayer. Why? Because as-subh huwa baqiratul yawm. Yani because this time is the beginning of the day. This is where it starts at. And if a person gets off to a good start, they have a good chance, right? And the hadith, in another hadith is mentioned, burika li ummati fi buquriha. Yani that my ummah has been blessed. Yani kathratul khair, a lot of good. Allah has blessed my ummah fi buquriha, in its early morning hours. In its early morning hours. And in another hadith that's authentic, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma barik li ummati fi buquriha. Yani he supplicated, oh Allah, bless my ummah in its early morning hours. So this is a blessed time. And it is the time when provisions are being distributed and the barakat is descending from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is sleeping in that time, then that means they don't want provisions. So whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives success to take hold of the reins of the day, yani take control over their day, then this is, yani in the early morning hours, that this person would turn to Allah and supplicate to Allah and ask Allah and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, this doing so in the early morning hours, doing this in the early morning hours, is from the signs and the indications of a tawfiq and a taysir fi yawmihi. This is from the signs that Allah will grant success to a person. If he enables that, he gives him success in the early morning hours to supplicate to him, to call upon him, to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the early morning hours, then this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give success to that person, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give ease, taysir, for that person in their day. Yani, ilman wa amalan wa rizqan. In their knowledge, and in their actions, and in their provisions. So if a person gets up in the morning, and the men go to the masjid to pray in jama'ah, and after salatul fajr, remember Allah, dhikr and du'a, and recitation of the Quran, asking Allah for your needs, this is a special time. Especially if you're struggling and you don't have a lot of means and you're struggling with it, this is the time to supplicate to your Lord. This is the best time for supplicating for one's sustenance. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ used to supplicate every single day in the morning with these 3 supplications, these 3 requests. So if you will reflect, Yani brothers who have been given success in these 3 supplications, you will find that these are the ahdaf of the Muslim fi yawmihi. These are the goals of a Muslim in his day. These are the things that we should set as our goals. If it was said to you, what are the goals of the Muslim, yani on a daily basis in their day? Just reflect with me for a moment, the Shaykh says, can you find any goal beyond these 3 goals? Yani in these 3 goals, everything has been collected. The goals of a Muslim have been collected in the, all of it has been collected in these 3 things. The Muslim doesn't have in his day except these 3 goals. Beneficial knowledge, wholesome provisions, and deeds. Yani worship. Deeds. That is accepted. What more do you want? Knowledge to guide you? Huh? For your provisions and in your actions, and then provisions that are lawful and wholesome, and then that your deeds in that day are accepted to Allah. What more can a person ask for? And the Shaykh discussed this, as I said, in 6 pages. And this supplication, these 3 things. So the first thing in the beginning of the morning, the Muslim begins his day, calling to mind these goals, these objectives. And in the beginning of the day, you remind yourself that you want beneficial knowledge, that you want lawful, wholesome provisions, and that you want to do deeds that will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, and he calls this to mind, then he asks Allah jalla sha'nuhu to help him to achieve these goals, to achieve these requests, these objectives that he wants to achieve in his day. So he begins his day by asking with a su'al, a question, or request, I should say, O Allah, indeed I ask you for beneficial knowledge, wholesome provisions, and deeds that are accepted. And I don't know if I mentioned, did I mention where this supplication is at in Fortress of the Muslim? It's supplication number 95. He said, he asks Allah for these things, then, listen to this, very, very important. And he talks about this in the explanation of this supplication. Anyway, we'll suffice with what he says here. ثُمَّ كَمَا قَالَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ يُتْبِعُ الدُّعَاءَ بِبَذْلِ السَّبَبِ. Then he follows the supplication by exerting himself, extending himself, making effort. After asking Allah for these things, then the person follows the asking of Allah by exerting themselves, utilizing the means to achieve them, the lawful legislated means to achieve them. This is very important. هَكَذَا أَشَعْنْ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَدْعِيَةِ. Yani, this is how it should be for every supplication that you make. After you ask Allah, you're supposed to go and try to do. Yani, what's lawful to do in order to achieve it? You ask Allah to help you, and then you have to do something. This is required of a Muslim when they supplicate to Allah. If they supplicate to Allah for any need, that they have to follow that supplication by exerting themselves in the thing that the need that they are requesting, whether it's a religious matter or a worldly matter. They must exert themselves. And for this reason, if a person gets up in the morning and supplicates to Allah, saying, Allah, oh Allah, give me beneficial knowledge. And after that, after supplicating with this supplication, immediately they pull out the pillow and sleep until dhuhr. No knowledge will come to that person. No knowledge will come to that person. Even though maybe that supplication was made from the heart. But then you got to do something. But if a person says, O Allah, indeed I ask you for beneficial knowledge, and then they take hold of the book of Allah, and they begin to memorize, or they go to a gathering of learning, of knowledge, and they listen, or they read a book, or other than that, yani, they exert themselves, utilizing the sabab, yani, the means to achieve what they want, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with knowledge. Supplicate to Allah and then make the effort to do, to get what it is that you want. And likewise, in the same way, the doors of provision are the same. You ask Allah for good provisions, and then you go out and you make an effort to seek provisions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the way easy for you. Yani, the ways to birr and rizq and tawfiq, yani, to doing good, to earning livelihood, to being successful in whatever you want to do. The Shaykh says, so you must combine these two affairs that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in his saying, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah. Hadith in Sahih Muslim, and it's a longer hadith, but that's part of the hadith. Ihris, these two affairs are contained in this statement. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah. Yani, eagerly seek that which benefits you. And I say the most beneficial things are what? The beneficial things related to the hereafter. Seek eagerly that which benefits you, and then seek help from Allah. Yeah, and you have to do something and ask Allah's help. So the point here is that the Muslim, in this kind of situation, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, it is incumbent upon you to supplicate to Allah, and to supplicate a lot. A lot. And it is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that which is transmitted from him by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hadith Qudsi, O my servants, all of you, as we read in the beginning from the text of the book, all of you are hungry except that one whom I have fed, so seek to be fed from me and I will feed you, O my servants. All of you are naked except the one that I have clothed, so seek clothing from me and I will clothe you. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, and it's on the authority of Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. And we discussed this hadith previously, maybe a year or two ago, the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, the father of Sheikh Abdul Razak, in detail, the whole supplication, tremendous explanation that the Sheikh gave, and whoever, yani, can go back and look at that explanation, it is indeed beneficial. Yani, the meaning here is what? Seek, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, seek from me food, drink, clothing, sustenance, yani, your nourishment, or other than that. All of this is sought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is only sought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah says, and it is also narrated by At-Tirmidhi from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, in a hadith that's sahih, he said, every one of you or any one of you must seek his needs, all of them, from his Rabb, even yani the strap of his sandal, if it breaks. Yani the strap of the sandal, meaning the strap that goes between the toes, that holds the foot to the sandal. Even if that breaks, yani you ask Allah's help in order to fix it. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your affair easy for you in fixing, yani even the strap of your sandal. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, فَإِنَّهُ إِنْ لَمْ يُيَسِّرُهُ اللَّهُ لَمْ يَتَيَسَّرُ. For if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make it easy, He doesn't facilitate it, it will not be made easy. لِأَنَّ التَّيْسِيرُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. For indeed, every facility and every ease is only in the control, in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the dua, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, reported by Al-Imam Ibn Hibban in his Sahih and others, and Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajj Al-Asqalani said that it is Sahih, and Shaykh Al-Albani said that it is Hasan. And there's some difference of opinion concerning this supplication, but in any case, yani some of our great scholars of past and present have at least said that it is Hasan. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. This is a supplication that we definitely need to be saying. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. There's absolutely nothing easy, Allah, except what you have made easy. Wa anta taj'alu al-hazna, not huzna, hazna. And in the Fortress of Muslim, this word is translated wrong. It's translated as huzn instead of hazn. And it should be hazn. And it's written hazn, but they translate it as huzn. وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحَزْنَ. Yani you are the one who makes difficulty, if you will, easy. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who, anything that's easy is because He made easy, and He is the one also who can make difficult things easy if He wills. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say it, and we definitely need to say it. And also, yani he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, in the fourth surah, Surah An-Nisa, 32nd ayat. And this is a command, ask Allah from His bounties. And these bounties include religious matters as well as worldly matters. Ask Allah for His bounties. Naam. فَجَمْعَ حاجات الإنسان الدينية والدنيوية وجميع I'm sorry فجميع حاجات يعني all of the needs of the human being, whether worldly or religious, all of their requests, they must ask them from الرب العظيم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has in His hands everything. And here the Shaykh says that these two ayats that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, and the first one is Surah An-Nisa 4:32, and the second one is Surah Al-Jumu'ah 62:10. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. The first one, ask Allah for His bounties, for some of His bounties. And the second one, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And when the salat has been performed, when you have completed the salat, then go out in the earth. And you worship Allah, now go out in the earth, وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek the bounties of Allah. Notice that it came in the first ayat. In it is the su'al. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Yani the request came in the first ayat. And in the second ayat, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Go out on the earth and seek His bounties, meaning the effort that you have to make. Yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the Shaykh is saying, notice that in the first ayat is the question, asking Allah for something, the request. And in the second ayat came بَذْلُ السَّبَبْ, yani exerting yourself, making the effort to do what can be done to achieve what you are seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is as though Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is bringing to our attention the combination of these two affairs, the su'al, requesting, and the bedl a sabab, yani making the effort to achieve what you are asking, requesting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani he has combined between these two affairs, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his bounty, as is indicated in the first noble ayat, ask Allah for his bounties, and then following that dua and that request with exerting yourself, bedlu as-sabab, as is indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you have finished from the salat, then go out in the land and seek the bounties of your Lord. Yani meaning, exert yourself, utilize the means, the lawful, legislated means to prevent evil or to achieve yani some benefit. Exert your efforts. And he mentioned the ayat from Surah Al-Mulk 67:15, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاقِبِهَا وَقُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِي. Yani go out in the yani paths of the earth and eat from his provisions. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which he has provided for us. Do not, the human being must not remain in his place without exerting any effort. And it came in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmad, At-Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih, and At-Tirmidhi said that it's hasan sahih, and there's one word missing here. It says law tawakkaltum, and in the narration it says law annakum tawakkaltum. لو أنكم توكلتم على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروه بطانا. يعني لو أنكم توكلتم, if you all were to put your trust in Allah حق توكله, in the way that you are supposed to, then he would provide for you the same way he provides for the birds. They go out with their stomachs empty and they return with their stomachs full. Naam. Yani the birds exert an effort. They don't remain in their nests. The bird, if he comes out in the morning hungry, he goes out, he leaves, and he travels long distances searching for food and water. And then he returns. Yani haven't been provided for. Yani if you were to put your trust in Allah in the way that Allah deserves to be trusted, then he would provide for you in the same way that yani he provides for the birds, yani who go out in the morning with their stomachs empty and come back with them full. They go out hungry and they come back satisfied. The meaning of this is that the human being, from the completion and the perfection of tawakkul, and Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah discussed this in detail in al-Aqeedah al-Wasatiyah, yani the completion of tawakkul is not just that a person puts trust in Allah and they say, I trust Allah and I'm confident in Allah and all of that, but rather from the completion and the perfection of tawakkul ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you exert yourselves, utilizing the means to achieve as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do. And then Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, yani this ayat that he mentioned earlier, yani that when you are finished from the prayer, then go out in the earth and seek the bounties of your Lord. He said that even though this was yani related in connection to the Jumu'ah prayer, yani in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, but its meaning is applicable to all of the prayers. Meaning that the human being must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors, and then he must go out searching the means and the ways, the abwab al-rizq, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him in that. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, and for this reason, and Allah knows best, the Prophet, yani the meaning that when a person yani prays, after the prayer go out, yani pray, seeking Allah, nearness to Allah and seeking your means, and then go out and do something. This may be the reason why the Prophet, and Allah knows best, commanded us, yani the person when they're entering the masjid, to say, O Allah, open for me the doors of your rahmah. Because the person is entering the masjid for salat and ibadah and remembrance of Allah, so that they may achieve the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he ordered the one who is leaving the masjid to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. O Allah, indeed I ask you for your bounty. So if a person is leaving from the masjid, in front of that person are the doors of provisions, yani the means or the ways to seek one's provision. So that person should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time for his bounty, yani to make easy for you lawful and wholesome provisions. Yani if a person is going out of the masjid, he should say, oh Allah, I ask of you your bounties. وَقَدْ قَالَ الْخَلِيلُ Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah narrates this last evidence that al-Khalil sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ Yani seek your provisions, your sustenance from Allah. وَعْبُدُوهُ And worship Him alone. وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ And be grateful to Him for all that He has given you. إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ Indeed, we are going to return to Him. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 17th Ayat. So here the Shaykh says, seek your provisions from Allah. That is from Allah and not from anyone other than Allah. Yani turn to Allah alone. Ask Him, Allah alone. Yani seek shelter and refuge in Allah alone. And the final statement, yani, that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah makes concerning this before we go on to the second advice that he gives concerning this question. He said, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, هذا أمرٌ Yani seek your provisions from Allah and worship Him and be grateful to Him. This is a command, meaning the saying of Allah, seek your provisions from Allah is a command, and the command indicates al-ijab, al-wujub. A command indicates that this, what you have been commanded with, is obligatory. فَالْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِاللَّهِ وَاللُّجُوءِ إِلَيْهِ فِي أَمْرِ الرِّزْقِ وَغَيْرِهِ أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ This is the last saying of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He said, so seeking help from Allah, al-isti'ana billah, and turning to Him in the matter of sustenance and in other than that, in everything that we might need, this is a magnificent, tremendous foundation that our deen is upon. It's from the usul al-deen, tawakkul ala Allah, seeking whatever you need from Allah. This means, the Shaykh says, that it is obligatory upon the Muslim that his turning in seeking his provisions and his needs and that which is of benefit to him, that his turning be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wahdahu, alone. And you forget about depending on the people. If you ask somebody for something, know that no good will come to you from them except by the permission of Allah. And whoever does good to us, we thank them. But first and foremost, thank Allah, because all good is under the control of Allah. عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلْ We must depend upon Him. وَإِلَيْهِ يَلْتَجَعْ Yani we must turn to Him, seek refuge in Him. وَمِنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَتْلُبُ الْمَدَدْ وَالْعَوْنِ وَالْتَوْفِيقِ وَالْتَيْسِيرِ And it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ask and we request assistance and help and success and ease in our affair. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Is there any question about what we discussed this evening? We have 2 minutes or so. Oh, by the way, this question came from sisters? No? Okay, what is... Abu Muhammad, can you make an announcement of Salat? For tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. at Allah. Okay, quickly, right? I hope I don't have to repeat this, okay? Tomorrow, inshallah, at Ahlul Quran wa Sunnah, Masjid Ahlul Quran wa Sunnah in Queens, there is Aqiqah. Where's Sadiq at? Oh, he left? Okay. He is having Aqiqah tomorrow. Yani the mother and father, both of them. They're having Aqiqah with their child tomorrow at Masjid Ahlul Quran with Sunnah at 4:30 p.m. At 4:30 p.m. Okay. I also have a question from the sisters last week. I want to start with that. Because when the question came to me, brothers were praying, so I wasn't able to, but I discussed it with some of the brothers who were sitting here. The question came, the best time to supplicate is before the taslim. And last week we mentioned the best time for supplication is while you're in the salah, while you're in communion with Allah. So does that include al-istikhara also? Yani the question, the sister asked, does that include istikhara or just generally supplicating? And I say yes, it includes istikhara. The opinion of the majority of scholars, Hanafi madhab, Maliki madhab, Shafi'i madhab, and Hanbali madhab, is that istikhara should be said after taslim. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said that it's permissible to supplicate in any prayer, including istikhara, before after taslim. Before or after taslim. Both of them are permissible. And what is better, al-afdal, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, is before taslim. Why? Because most of the supplications of the Prophet ﷺ were in the salat, not after the salat. Look at the sunnah. Most of the supplication of the Prophet was in the salat, not after the salat. And after takbir, in standing, in ruku, rising from ruku, in prostration, in sitting between prostration, tashahud, after tashahud, how many supplications the Prophet ﷺ recited? All of them in the salat. And this is the time when a person is in communion with Allah. And when you make taslim, then you have turned away from Allah. Why would you hold your supplication until after you cut off the communion when you are in a position and in communion with Allah? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, the best time for supplication related to salat is in the salat. However, it's permissible to make it before or after. That is, even istikhara. He said that yani it's permissible to make the dua of istikhara before taslim or after, and what is better is before taslim. Any question from yani tonight? From tonight. This is from the sisters from last week. Naam, Musa. And then we'll stop here, inshallah.
You said that the blessing of this woman is made in the morning hours. Like, what about those that work at night?
Naam.
What about that?
Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he supplicated, Allahumma barik fi ummati fi bukuriha. Yani, put the blessings for my ummah in their early morning hours. That's what he asked for, and that's what Allah gave us. And if people work in the night, this is not natural, it's not normal. If a person is compelled to do that, then do the best you can. Allah is great. Allah is sufficient, Allah is generous, Allah is kind, Allah is merciful, and all of that. But the best time is in the morning. This is what the Prophet ﷺ asked for, this is what Allah gave us. Rather, a person who works in the night should try to not work in the night. This is not normal, it's not natural. Allah didn't make the night for working, He made it for sleeping. For a person to rest, and if you get up in the night, pray. Not work, pray. And if you have to work at night, alhamdulillah, yani do the best you can. This is what Allah has given you. Be content with what Allah has given you. Do the best you can. Be content with what Allah has decreed for you. But if a person can work in the daytime, that's the time that Allah has made as normal for the human being to work in the daytime. And He made the night for rest. If a person works at night and they worship Allah yani in the day and in the night, Allah will take care of them, no doubt. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.